I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You better you bet on radio.com and the radio.com app.
So let's break down the two games.
Costos angry. Okay. That's your promo code. Costos angry.
You know, it's more like Costos resigned to this.
Right.
Costos throw his hands up in the air.
Sign up and you too can be angry and resigned.
Costos exasperated.
Yep.
The time for anger is long since passed. Okay. So the two big results we saw in the NBA last night. Amazing comeback by Golden State to beat the Lakers 115-113. We'll get to that game in a moment here, but let's talk about the Nets-Bucks game, which was really entertaining. I watched a lot of this game, really fun down the stretch. Nets win 125-123, so the Nets obviously cover, win outright as underdogs, the four-point dogs. Game goes over the total, much to the chagrin of our guy Noops, and maybe me, who bet the under in the game last night. Kevin Durant, 39-6, James Harden, 34-6-12, just insane. Giannis goes for 34. Middleton scores 25. Middleton misses at the buzzer as Brooklyn wins its second straight game with James Harden and Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving talking today to the assembled media. Looks like he'll be back at some point in the near future here for the Nets. I've got one really big picture takeaway, Ken, from this game, but let's hear your thoughts first here on the Nets beating the Bucks 125-123.
Yeah, anytime we have in college football, I use the term big boy game to describe these sort of, you know, these happen five times an entire season where it's a team plays a team in college football that's unlike any other team they played. They're finally on their level. Ohio State, Clemson, Clemson, Alabama, these games. And they just, they tend to tell you something that you didn't know before and that you could never have figured out before the year. On a smaller scale, both games last night, actually, I think, were more telling than normal regular season games, really. I have two big takeaways. Neither involves Milwaukee and both involve Brooklyn, to be honest. The first one is what I think, you know, is the most interesting from an on-court standpoint. So I have one about their rotation, which I can do later later on in this conversation. But the most important thing I think is, you know, when you're going to play Milwaukee in the playoffs, you're going to play Boston in the playoffs, you're going to play Philly in the playoffs, Indiana, maybe Toronto, if they can really get this turned around. In the final 5 minutes of a game, it's game five of the second round. It's game five of the conference finals. And it's, you know, 3 minutes to go, 5 minutes to go. And the game slows down as every game does, as every playoff game does when we're in that environment. What are you running? What is the offense when you have multiple superstars on the court at the same time? And with Kyrie off the court, this became very easy to figure out for Brooklyn. Incredibly easy to figure out in every possession in a late game situation in the half court, which was James Harden in the pick and roll and Kevin Durant acting as a spot up shooter. Like, this was very easy to see. One of the reasons why this was so easy to be assimilated for the Nets is that this is what Durant did with Golden State a lot. There were a ton of possessions where Curry would be in the pick and roll and Durant would act as a shooter. And then cool, they would have possessions where they would run a set to get Kevin Durant a shot too. But in the final 3 minutes of this game, again, the productive possessions that Brooklyn has are James Harden pick and rolls where Durant is like in the corner or on the side or on the elbow. And he's not really involved in the action, but he acts as a shooter. Oh, by the way, he's only like the most prolific spot up shooter that, you know, any team could ever field in that situation. But I thought that was really interesting because it's one of the questions that we've been asking. when these guys are on the court at the same time, what happens? And it's less important in the flow of a game, you know, second quarter, third quarter, where just, you know, the pace is up and defense in the regular season doesn't really kick in until late in the game if it's a close game, that like we're not really going to learn it at that point. But we would learn it last night in a game like that. So I thought that was very interesting. And I will be further interested. The thing that throws a huge wrench in this is like Kyrie's skill set doesn't fit that set. Like he's like Kyrie as a spot up shooter makes no sense. I mean, it's like a waste. And it's so because he and Harden would both basically do it something identical in that situation. So we will learn more as Kyrie comes back and we see them in this type of situation. But our first almost just glimpse of how two of the three players fit together, very incomplete information, I thought was very interesting. Here's kind of what they want to run. You know, here's the type of shots that they get off that. Here's what they want to do. I thought that was the most interesting thing for me.
Yeah, Nick's internet went out.
Oh, okay. Is that what my text says?
Yeah.
Ah, reconnecting right now.
Perfect. So he's reconnecting right now.
I'm gonna do my second point then.
You have to do what you gotta do.
That was I'll do what I gotta do. Don't worry. So the first point was just, what is the offense going to look like in the final 3 minutes when Kyrie comes back? What's the offense going to look like in the final 3 minutes? So, you know, is Harden and Kyrie are both ball dominant players. Neither has really played off the ball a ton ever, especially in Harden's case since he was with Oklahoma City. So that's like, we're continuing to learn what that's like. But I thought that was a really interesting glimpse. Just Durant as a spot up shooter. Thought that was really interesting. Second thing, and the second point about this game, and these are related, is just, who is Steve Nash going to end up trusting in a game that matters? Because there aren't going to be many players that fit that description. And this is a nice preview of what a playoff rotation is going to look like for the Nets. And the number of players on this roster that you can trust in game five, tied 2-2 against Milwaukee, tied 2-2 against Boston, tied 2-2 against Philly. It's a short fucking list. And when Kyrie's minutes come back, I'm not sure how many of these guys should play. Like, the list might be seven of people who should actually be playing in a playoff game. Like starting five, can you play Bruce Brown 15 minutes in a playoff game? Can you play Jeff Green 15 minutes in a playoff game at his age? Can you play Shamet in a playoff game? Oh, by the way, I think he's a guy they absolutely need to be able to be playing in a playoff game. Can you play TLC in a playoff game? That's something we really don't know the answer to yet, and we're going to start learning that. But that's the other side of this, that they can get incredibly far even not having good answers to those questions. But how many guys really can make it? Again, as a kind of big boy game, this helped us figure out like who really is going to be on the court in a game that matters. So I thought those two things were interesting. And Nick, I think you're back on right now.
Yes. You guys can hear me, right?
We can. Yeah, welcome back.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's just I don't know. Anyway, Joe Harris would be one of the answers to that question, though, right? I thought he was really good last night.
He's going to play the max, and he needs to be he's for spacing. He's essential,
and he's not a minus defensively.
Yeah, he's not a minus defensively, and he's incredibly important from spacing.
You know what was wild to me last night watching the game? So I think it hit me a couple times earlier in the game, but the big play of the game, obviously, and I think the one that kind of everyone took away from it, especially as I was reading about it this morning and when I was watching it last night, was at 123-122. So Milwaukee's up in the final minute and the Nets have the ball, right? And Harden misses the shot. Harden gets the rebound and throws it to Durant. And Durant, of course, like drains the open three. Cause like, of course right. He does. Cause that's what Kevin Durant always does. And it just kind of struck me in that moment that like, okay, so let's say it's the Houston Rockets, right? So this is the James Harden Houston Rockets. Harden misses that shot. And like, we've seen Harden's a great player. He's one of the best players in the NBA. He's one of the best offensive players that the game has ever seen, right? But, like, Harden, not always, like, the best performer in the clutch. It's not to say that, like, he can never make a big shot or hasn't made big shots before. But, like, we've seen him miss a lot of shots like that before. I mean, you know, I think his critics will point to, like, the Game 7 failures in his time with the Rockets, especially against the Steph Curry Golden State Warriors, you know, with Kevin Durant on the team, obviously, now, right? Where now it's like, okay, let's say that Harden gets his in the first, you know, 46 minutes of the game. And then in the final 2 minutes, maybe Harden's like, doesn't make the shot at the end of the game. Well, like he's more than capable of getting his own rebounds. And then, oh, by the way, he's not the best player on his own team now. Like there's a guy on the team who's better than he is, who I think we would all say, like, if you needed, Ken, if you had to pick one, Kevin Durant or James Harden to shoot with the game on the line to try and win it for you, who's picking James Harden in that scenario? Like, we all pick Kevin Durant, right? So right, it's well, like,
Harden, I want Durant to shoot, but I want Harden with the ball, but I want Durant to shoot.
That's and guess right. what? And guess what? You right. get that.
Right.
You get that with Brooklyn. And in the event that Harden's got the ball in his hands and KD's doubled or the defense on KD is good or the look's not there, you've got another supremely clutch shooter in Kyrie Irving there. So it's like, it's not everything is going to fall on James Harden's shoulders here like it did when he was in Houston. And maybe like the Rockets were never going to win a championship with that setup. And maybe the Chris Paul injury kind of changed things that one year. But like maybe it wasn't going to happen. But now like Harden is the second banana, right? Where Harden doesn't have to make the shot at the end of the game. He can make the million shots before that. He can create at the end of the game. And you've got Durant there. And then you're going to welcome Kyrie back, assuming that Kyrie comes back. Even if he doesn't come back, I think the Nets are still a force to be reckoned with here. Where I kind of walked away from the game last night thinking, all right, the Nets haven't even practiced yet as a full team with like this collection of players, like literally zero practices with this group of players. They beat the Bucks last night. Like they beat Milwaukee. Right.
Milwaukee was all in this game. And there's not an argument to the contrary. This was like both teams got to a point in this game where both teams realized that it mattered and that it was worth putting in maximum effort. And Milwaukee was all in this game. There was nothing like, it's not like, well, when they get this guy or like when they do that. No. Like this was a very, very authentic test for each team. The thing was Brooklyn doesn't have their co-best player, but Milwaukee was all in this game. There's no question.
How does Brooklyn not win the East? And like, I think there's a case to be made. They could win the championship with this group. Like, yeah, and I don't know that.
So there's a betting question, right? That's rooted in this.
And I've got all the odds here.
Right. I price compared across a few places. What do we have at our sponsor?
I think what's interesting also, Kevin Durant to win MVP is +800. I think that's pretty interesting right now with the way like this is going to be. Like he's the best player on the team. Like, and the team includes Harden and Kyrie. They have to win enough. But like, I don't know. Last night was a pretty good indication that might be the case. We'll see what happens when Kyrie comes back. And like Steve Nash is saying, like his conditioning may not be there. They're going to work him back slowly. So we'll see what kind of happens with Kyrie Irving. So right now to win the title, Lakers +250 at Bet Rivers, Nets +300, Bucks +600, Clippers +600, Nets +140 to win the East at Bet Rivers, Bucks +320, Sixers +650, Celtics +700.
You couldn't pay me to bet the Bucks or the Clippers to win anything as long as those players and those coaches are on those teams. I mean, you couldn't pay me. And if anything, they make every other team more valuable because the not like the secret, but just it's the elephant in the room of the NBA. I'm trying to frame it the right way. Like the obvious team wins every time, which is not, that's not really fair. And there are examples of outliers.
It's not unfair. It's not unfair.
But it's also, you and I texted about this offline a little bit, and we can bring this conversation onto the air because it does apply to the next game too, which involves the Lakers. We have our two teams that are co-favorites to win the title, both played in meaningful games last night. To win the NBA title, first of all, the regular season generally gives us a very strong indication. Last like 40 years, I think only one team hasn't won. I have it written down somewhere. It's like 67% of their regular season games and won the title. And that was the Rockets in 1995 in a very specific,
which is such and such like a bizarre set of circumstances. Yeah.
And a team that won already.
Yes.
And a team that won already.
And the previous year, the previous year too.
Right. And also you have to understand like what were the circumstances in the league at that time? Like that was Jordan just coming back, Magic make it instead. Like, I mean, there was lots of stuff going on where like the Bulls were really the best team probably, but had not been fully formed yet again. So there's all kinds of stuff going on that season. And that's the outlier. Like that's the one we have. And people like to hold up a lot of what they would consider upsets that took place in the NBA finals, right? We had Toronto over Golden State. You had the Detroit Pistons over the Lakers when they had their star-studded cast. And we know, you know, the prices in that series were outrageous. Those teams won an insane amount of regular season. Toronto won like 58 games when they won the title. Like they're not coming out of, they didn't come out of nowhere.
They were the
like,
two seed.
They had a player who had already won an NBA championship.
It was the MVP. And he was the MVP of the finals
of the league.
On a team that included Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili.
And what was... and was and played for a team that during the course of the regular season won more games than almost any other team. And that's what we hold up as the upset. Oh, by the way. And when when, again, same thing with like the Detroit Pistons, like, you know, who won a billion regular season games? The Pistons. Like, you know, it's just because we didn't think of them that way. They had showed us in that regular season. They were anyway. So the point of all this is just that, like, nobody comes out of nowhere. It's always the teams that you expect, you know, with very, very few exceptions. And this is where people will be like, well, Miami made the finals last year. Yeah, that was like, that was crazy. That was crazy that they made the finals. They also didn't win. So that's step one. And they also played all of their games in a bubble located in one city for the first time in NBA history. So like, hey, maybe that's not the great historical precedent that we think it is. I think, you know, how this applies to these teams that we're going to talk about. And with the Nets, I think the Nets are still valuable to win the East. Like, if we're just figuring out what is the true percentage chance that these outcomes happen, like, you know, the teams that always go to the NBA finals, you know,
they should be like, they shouldn't be plus money, right?
They should be minus, yeah,
right?
They should be minus
what?
Should already what be minus thinking? 120, 130.
I swear to God, I'm thinking I'm also thinking minus 120.
Well, here's what happens in NBA futures markets as the season goes along. So first of all, even people who are like, and for not a lot of people are interested in betting NBA futures, especially right now, because we're talking about an event that's going to take place 6 months in the future, and you're going to bet something plus 145 and tie up your money for 6 months. You could bet that money 1,000 times between now and June. So that's part of the reason why, like, I haven't bet on NBA futures yet, for example. But if you're just trying to figure out the true probability of these things happening, yes, you have to build in the chance of an injury. It's the most important thing that obscures this conversation, because if one of the three players get hurt, specifically if Durant gets hurt
or if Kyrie retires,
also fair, and we kind of, that all gets built into the same thing, like that we get to the playoffs or we get to the finals and think about Golden State Toronto, right? Like, Toronto doesn't win that series if everybody's healthy for Golden State. Of course they don't. And I also will never hear an argument to the contrary of that. Of course not. And you know, if Durant gets hurt, they can't win. So you're making a bet. Like, this is not a certainty. Like, Durant can get hurt, in which case they will not win the East. Someone else will win. But, like, that's what you're... To me, I'm not saying we're there already, that, like, that's the only way they don't win. But we're going to get closer. We're going to get really close. And there's two things...
And they're going to do something else. And who was on with us recently?
Guys. Right.
Well, yeah. I think it was Noobs that was saying it. Like, Noobs. They're not done. They're not done yet.
Right, nor should they be. And there are ring chasers every single year. Now, the quality of player you can get may not be somebody that people consider awesome, but people did this with the Lakers last year too, and it's this contrarianism for the sake of being like, well, you know, the Nets don't have any centers, or like, oh, like the Lakers' backup point guard isn't very good. Like, oh, you know who still won? All the teams that you were contrarian against. Oh, well, like the Warriors, I don't know. Like, it's just after their starting lineup, who is it? Well, I don't know, but you know what the starting lineup is? Like, the best in NBA history. So they're
like, oh, you know, Michael and Scotty might not be hungry this year after five championships already.
Right. But what has Luke Longley done? Bill Weddington, you seen that guy's hook shot? Gross. Oh, okay. Or they could just win six championships. You know, it just... We do this sometimes in the NBA, and what history has shown us is like...
Well, we do it in all sports, stupidest. Right? It's contrarianism for the sake of contrarianism. Well, and I know it's not apples to apples, yes.
Right.
But like, this is contrarianism for the sake of contrarianism, because it's like, if it's Kyrie, Harden, and Durant, how are they losing before they face the Lakers? And like, I think they beat every team except for the Lakers, maybe.
Right. I think the most interesting challenge is we watch the Celtics when Kemba comes back and see what they are. I think that's like the most interesting challenge. There are two things about that I like. So I don't like the Bucks in a series against the Nets whatsoever. I don't like the Bucks in a playoff series against anyone competent. Are the Sixers going to show you something?
Define competent this year in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, like who would I not like them in a series against overall?
And it doesn't mean that you think they would lose or that you would bet against them. But like, you wouldn't bet on them.
Yeah, exactly. I think in most series where they are not an overwhelming favorite, I don't think they're a desirable team to bet on in a lot of those situations.
Like Boston, Philly.
Yeah, well, it just depends on when we get there, what the setup is. I don't think Boston's going to look like they look, and I don't think Philly's going to look like they look when we get there. I don't know if those teams can be good enough to beat Brooklyn in a 7-game series. Like, I already would have a lot of doubts because, like, there isn't a whole lot new going on there, and I think we know what the ceiling is, honestly.
Dude, the Nets have Durant and... They have Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. And, like, forget about Kyrie. It's almost like forget about Harden and Kyrie. They have Durant. And then they have these other guys also. Like, right. How are they losing?
And there's also, it's not just team quality in the regular season that's important. It's also, there's a very, I mean, it's like a members-only club. And it's an incredibly small club and very few are invited.
And they got two of them.
Have you even made a finals? Have you won a title with this player? There's, I mean, the group is microscopic. Giannis ain't in the group. Like, the Sixers guys aren't in it. Nobody on the Celtics is in it. Like, again,
no
like,
one on the Heat is in it.
Like, Jimmy,
I mean, I guess
Butler's
they made it to the finals, but like, they didn't win. No one on the Heat has won.
Right. And that's just making the finals. I mean, winning a title, I mean, it's literally like the likelihood that one of.
It's LeBron or anyone that played on the Warriors, basically, right. or one of these other miscellaneous.
Or anybody that played with LeBron. It's like literally LeBron, Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Steph Curry. Like, that's it. And it's like, if you're not betting on one of those teams to win the title, are you an idiot? You might be. You really might be an idiot if you're doing that. So it just, the pool is incredibly small. At the start of the season, the pool's incredibly small. So here's what's going to happen to the futures market, right? And this is even, there's a ton of extra juice built into the futures market. If you took all the percentage chances of the teams to win, if you figured out what they all were, and it's pretty easy to do, and you added it all up, it would equal like 174%. Like, that's how much of a tax you're being charged to buy into some of these futures prices. You just don't realize it when you look at the market. But here's what's going to start happening. Teams that have a 1% chance, 2% chance, 3% chance, 5% chance. Right now, every team in the Eastern Conference, you can bet on to win the Eastern Conference. At the start of the season, you can bet on every team to win the Eastern Conference. All of those teams at the bottom go to zero. They get taken off the board. Those percents have to go somewhere. Teams like Indiana and Atlanta and Orlando, teams like those that are, and Indiana is a very competent team. Indiana is a good team. Indiana has a 0% chance to win the NBA title. Zero. Zero. Maybe they can make the finals a la Miami, have some incredible run and lose to someone else. Cannot win the title. That their odds actually kind of need to be zero. So you have all of these percentages at the bottom that are going to go away. They exist in kind of this like fantasy land where the team has any chance to win when we have all the evidence in the world it can never happen. All those percents go somewhere as the season gets close to ending. Now, in the previous years, they've gone to the Lakers or they've gone to the Warriors, and it's not an even distribution. Like, Boston's not going to get as much more credit as Brooklyn is as we go along. So, like, it's only going down barring an injury. And I said barring an injury at the start because it's like, this isn't a certainty. There's uncertainty in all of these types of futures bets. But, like, the Knicks are listed to win the East. At a certain point, they will stop being listed. And even with all the hold built into the futures market, like, there's all these extra percents that have to go somewhere. And they're not going to stay with those teams because those teams have a 0% chance. So, like, where are they going to go? I think it is very likely, not certainty, but very, very likely that we get to the playoffs. And I would find it surprising, not crazy, because, I mean, stuff can happen, of course. Kemba can come back. The Celtics could start playing way better. Sixers could kind of figure something out with their rotation.
No, I get what you're saying. That, like, now might be the best price to get the Nets at because it's only going right in one direction moving forward. But,
and there's a pro and a con, a giant one to each thing, right? The pro is you're probably getting the earlier the better on Lakers at the start of the year, Nets once this happened. Like, it's only going to get worse. So, like, the pro to doing it now is you probably get the best price. Like, it's unlikely that you don't. The con is they're holding your money forever and somebody could get injured. And those are the two things you have to weigh against each other to figure out if you want to bet. Like, that's the argument. And, like, the other teams don't even really factor into that, honestly. Like, to me, and it's just my opinion, they don't. Like, the Nets would, when we get to the playoffs, like, Nets are going to be a favorite over all these teams. And if the Nets are not a favorite against Milwaukee, I will bet the Nets, and I'll tell you, I'll do that right now. Like, I can't.
How could they not be? Even if Milwaukee's like the home team in the series,
if they host the series,
be
even better. Even better. Like, plus Nets, anything? Like, really? Okay. No historical precedent for a team like Milwaukee ever winning? Oh, great. Yes. Yeah. I'll take Milwaukee. It's the most important point here is this is not a certainty, but the chance that these things happen is still higher than what the price is in the market. The probability that it happens. Like, I think the Nets win the East easily more than 50% of the time. And I think I'll frame this bet a different way. So eyeballing it, I see 250 Lakers to win the title, 275 or 300 Nets, depending on where you look. 100 on each, you basically create a bet that is, so like two to win 250, two to win 300. So you basically create, will the Lakers or Nets win the title at a little more than even money? If I created that market for you, Lakers or Nets field to win the title and Lakers Nets was plus money, would you bet it?
Yes.
Of course. So that's a valuable bet that exists in the market right now.
Love it.
They're going to hold your money forever. So, like, that's the downside.
Whatever.
I don't like doing that. But if you're asking like what is the valuable, like the valuable bet in the futures market isn't like the 50-1 coming
out.
Like,
I'm gonna bet this money yet. I'm gonna bet anyway.
Right. We're also going to get to the finals and you can just bet it then, which is why when we finally get to those series, when we finally get to the playoffs, that's why those prices are so much more prohibitive, because people like, oh, I will put all my money in play now that it's the start of game one of the finals. And in a week I get all my money. Like, I mean, you know, Warriors Cavs the final year. I had -300, -400, -600, -800 and -1200. Like, I mean, just cause you know what, I'm getting it in 48 hours and it's free money. Like, I just, that's cause when we finally get there, that's what it is.
You know, what was fun. I had the Cavs in game one of that finals. And then I double down on Cavs halftime. And the game, of course, goes to overtime. And then Tristan
Thompson. On the J.R. Smith bungle. Yep.
Yes. And then Tristan Thompson gets a tech at the end of overtime. And the Warriors end up covering the second half line also. And I just lost it all. And it was just really, really accurate. actually, I think, maybe the greatest individual. Well, we'll never get talked about because they lost and got swept. The greatest individual performance by a player in NBA Finals history is LeBron in game one of that series. Almost single-handedly carried them to that win. And then broke his hand in the locker room afterwards because he was so mad. I don't blame him.
And I mean, and it would have been an unsustainable level of success to carry over to the rest. I mean, I would have bet the Warriors again after game one.
Yes,
I mean,
he would have needed to do that. He would have needed to go 50, 15, and 12, whatever it was, every game.
Every game.
And they weren't guaranteed to win if he did that.
Right. That just gets you in the game against that team. Like, that's how good the team was. And I'm sure there were people when the Warriors, I mean, I remember some of these conversations happening, like, oh, well, you know, the Warriors don't like each other very much now, so I'm going to bet this team at 20 to 1. It's like fakey gambling content. Like, you know what I want to do? Make a valuable bet and then win. I want to do those two things in tandem. I want to make a bet where I'm getting the best of the number and then I would like to win money. Like, it isn't a mystery about who the teams are that are valuable right now. It's just you're paying a low price and they're holding your money forever.
And I had enough of getting my brains beaten in betting the Cavs against the Warriors. So I had the Cavs in 2015. I will go to my grave saying that if Love and Kyrie stay healthy, the Cavs win that series. The first year the Warriors won. Had the Cavs in 2016.
First Warriors title? Yep, first Warriors title for sure.
Had the Cavs in 2016, which was incredible. Yep.
If the Cavs win game four, the third time they play, where they had a 3-possession lead with 3 minutes left. That was the game that ended with Durant hitting the three over LeBron's hand.
Hold on. Durant's first year, which was year three.
Yes, correct.
Wasn't that game three in the
three,
Warriors
game
went
three,
up three?
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, game three. Sorry, I said game four. The game in Cleveland that mattered.
Yes.
Because game four was where the Cavs broke every offensive record and won. But like the argument there was like the Warriors were already up 3-0. Yeah. But in game three, like the Cavs have like a 7-point lead with 2:30 left.
I made the case because I worked for CBS at the time and I did a show with Rip Hamilton and Rajah Bell. And I made the case to them that game proved to me, that game three, that Warriors team is the best team of my lifetime. That team would have beaten the Jordan Bulls in an NBA Finals. And the argument that I made was, in every year that the Bulls won, the six times they won with Jordan, they lose that game. Now, they win the series, but they lose that game. They would have lost game three. Like, the Warriors, that iteration of the Warriors, year one with Durant, and maybe even year two, but with Curry and Klay and Draymond, that's the only team I've ever seen that wins that game. That wins that game three against that competition.
It was completely insane.
Like the Bulls lose that game. They probably win the series in 6 or 7, but the Bulls lose that game. The Warriors did not lose that game. The Warriors won. That's the best team I've ever seen, was the first Durant year with the Warriors.
Right. And put yourself, and we can talk about the Lakers game briefly in a second, because there are a couple observations from that game that I think are also interesting. And that ties in with this conversation. Lakers, obviously a co-favorite, very likely to go to the NBA Finals. I'm sure during all of those seasons, and you mentioned Jordan Bulls, we mentioned, you know, the Splash Brother Warriors, and then adding Kevin Durant in those versions of the Warriors, the San Antonio Spurs, all of the times that they were particularly dominant, I'm sure there were radio shows, content creators who were sitting there in January of all of those seasons, and most of the conversations that were being scripted, because let's be honest, we all get tired of talking about the team that's really good. All of the conversations that were being had in a lot of those seasons were like, yeah, but can they blank against teams? It's how we create content.
And when the NFL goes away, it's a lot of time to fill.
Right. But when betting becomes a part of the content, then like, don't, you know, for the sake of being contrarian, you know what that is? Like a losing proposition when we talk about NBA futures. To be perfectly honest, in most sports, it's a losing proposition. But in this sport specifically, because it's best of 7 and the best team always wins. So like, then it's really a losing proposition. What you're really trying to get a handle on now are like, who are the teams that are going to fit the historical criteria to like be able to win the title? Because over the course of the regular season, they've demonstrated that acumen. Like, who are the teams that are going to fit that profile? If there's one that's sort of out of the mix now, then that's maybe the team you want to try to identify. Like, okay, like, this team is clearly going to win.
Who would it be? Like, the Clippers? And the Clippers aren't out of the mix.
The teams are already gone. Yeah, I mean, that's the ship has sailed. We're 15 games in. Like, it's already over. So it's a little less over than it normally is because of the compression of the season. But, like, the idea that even at this point, with every star that's sat, with every game that's being canceled due to COVID, like, it is a staggering... It is just an insanely high percentage of the time Lakers Nets is the finals.
Over under three and a half teams that can win the NBA title this year.
Win the title under, way under, two and a half teams that could win the title.
So you wouldn't put the Clippers in there?
No, I think they could make it. Maybe they. I think they'd lose to Brooklyn.
Okay, because like for me, it would be the three teams. It would be Clippers, Nets, Lakers.
What have the Clippers shown you that makes you think? Because to me, this is the difference between like having a conversation with like on paper statistics,
they fit the criteria, I guess, right?
They're gonna check the historical boxes, but like we also have eyes and brains, right? And the best, one of my favorite things about the NBA, and we have Matt Moore on at 5:30, and he always doesn't give me shit, but like always brings it back up to me that I always say, like, bet the narrative in the NBA. The root of that saying has nothing to do with the regular season. It has to do with trying to determine who the champion is going to be. And narrative is a bad way of framing it, but like we actually collectively do a great job of figuring out who the best team is. We actually do a great job of it every year. And we're able to so easily see through transparent wannabe candidates. And like that's always what the Clippers have been.
Like I
said that last year.
Paul George is your second banana.
Right. Like guess who can never win the title? You. And these things are easy. Like, they're easy to figure out. Like, it's much more likely a team like the Heat that, like, we just have never seen the composition of the players before. It's much more likely they make a leap than a team that fails five times finally makes it. And it's like, I mean, there's, like, no example of a team with the same composition of players, like, just running into a wall over and over and over and over and over again. And then, like, on the eighth try, being like, got it.
to be fair, that was, like, kind of the Jordan Bulls.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of... So there were
it's a different era, there
are two things that happen that push against that. So one is even the failures occurred at a higher and higher and higher and higher level as they went. Like, I mean, like they lost, you know, early, they lose in the conference finals. So they also faced another team that was like them. Like they faced Detroit, who was like them. I mean, that's not a knock on them. Like, that's not what the Bucks are. If the Nets end up falling, like it's not, there's no comp to that type of team, because with the way the stars have kind of like moved around teams, there's no version of like, you can't even get Pistons Bulls. It doesn't exist. Like there's no, those teams haven't stayed together long enough. There's no modern version of that matchup that can even take place prior to the NBA finals. The players move around too much now.
What about the Dirk Mavericks?
They made the finals before.
But like, well, like 6 or 7 years before and lost.
Right. But we think about how we just evaluated who has a chance to win the title. Based on previous experience, I wouldn't have ruled Dallas out of that equation, having already made it.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I kind of like Dallas to win that series, actually.
Yeah. I mean,
I remember I lived in a story.
Wade and the officials. That's what you can think. Yeah.
I went the second title.
Oh, okay.
When Dallas won. I remember I went, I don't know why I remember this, but I went tanning in a story on Steinway Street. And I remember saying to the guy there, he was wearing a Heat hat. And I was like, the Mavericks are going to beat them. He's like, nah, Heat have LeBron. I was like, we'll see. I don't know why I remember that. Let's talk about the Lakers Warriors game.
Sure.
Warriors beat the Lakers 115-113. Great comeback. Game goes over the total to Tyler's chagrin. Warriors obviously win the game outright. It just felt like Lakers are up by like 8 to 10 the entire game. Then the Warriors make a mini run. Then the Lakers go back up by 12. Then it's 4. Then it's 12. Then it's 4. Then it's 12. Then the game's over and the Warriors are somehow winning and they've won the game. Like a wild, like great comeback by Golden State. Curry had some of his like trademark step back three-pointers. The one at the end over Anthony Davis is like, probably not even like a top 10 all-time Steph Curry shot, but like a fucking ridiculous shot by Curry. Oubre was decent. Wiggins was decent. Eric Pascal was awesome in this game. Draymond had almost had 10 assists. It was a phenomenal basketball game. And like, I didn't think the Warriors had it in them watching this game to be able to get the job done. And what do you take away from it here with the Lakers losing? And like Frank Vogel said after the game, like, we were way too casual tonight in this game. Like that was a direct quote from Frank Vogel.
And that was the way, I think when we texted about this game earlier, I said, like, I got the sense the Lakers just thought, like, they were surprised that they didn't win. And with 3 minutes left, it's like, wait, what? Oh, this is close. Like, oh no. Like, cause they had outplayed the Warriors for 45 minutes. They outplayed the Warriors and in the first quarter, it was not even close. So I don't, does this game tell me the Warriors are like this thing that's going to be alongside the Lakers? No. I mean, first of all, they closed eight and a half in the game. So no one thinks that. And I don't think there was anything about this game that tells me they're on the same level. But there were some encouraging things. Oubre not being the worst player in an NBA rotation this year would be a good start, right? Like competent and good and played excellent defense, forced a bunch of turnovers.
He played with confidence, fair to say, right?
Played the most minutes on the team, which is important. The two things that I would consider not like valuable, but just encouraging were Curry didn't go nuclear and they won. You got zero from Wiseman. He was actually a huge net negative and you won anyway. And part of that, like part of why they won really, is their bench actually destroyed the Lakers bench in this game.
The second unit was much better.
I mean, they just it was really weird to watch it because I think we think of the Lakers as deep compared to some other teams like Brooklyn or a team like that, where it's like, well, I mean, like Montrezl Harrell's their sixth man. Kuzma is, you know, has been banished to like the ether of the eighth, ninth man who sometimes plays 25 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes, but doesn't have to be relied upon. They have Alex Caruso, who's basically regarded as like the best backup guard in the league. And this collection of guys, these group of veterans, I mean, again, could be an off night, could be a lot of different things. They got smoked. I mean, Marquise Morris came in for 6 minutes and was like a negative 25. I mean, it was incredible. I don't think of the Warriors as deep, but this is a nice start. I think Pascal has to play like literally as much as possible. I mean, every time we've done any type of analysis,
he's got juice, man.
We talk about him every time we do the Warriors and he doesn't start, which I totally understand. That's not like what I'm saying, but he's even in the short amount of time that he's playing, he played 20 minutes last night, highly productive, gives them an offensive spark, not like a monster defensive player by any stretch of the imagination, but like, that's not what they need. Like, they need dudes that can score. They don't have a lot of them. And it would be any shots that come off of Andrew Wiggins, who actually played well in this game, but I would not want shooting, you know, with regularity at a high volume. Like, any shots that come away from him, any shots that come away from Oubre, who was still 2 for 8 from 3 in the game. Like, this is if you can find something like that, like, that's it makes the team not interesting enough where it's like, well, I want to bet this team to win the title, or in a playoff series against the Lakers, I would bet the Warriors. But they start to become interesting in the tier below the Lakers, I think, but we didn't have them in that tier. Nobody did. And
we had them in like the bottom tier, one of the bottom tiers of the NBA, right? Like after the first couple of games of the season.
If they play the Clippers in the second round of a playoff series, there was no way 2 weeks ago that I would even think about betting the Warriors at like a plus price based on what I'd seen. And it really had nothing to do with the Clippers. And now you kind of think about some of the potential matchups months from now, where it's like, is there a version of this team that can like stay on the court and stay in games for long periods of time against a team like the Clippers, against, you know, to a much lesser extent, a team like Phoenix.
Draymond will torture Paul George, if that's the series.
Well, he'll talk a ton of shit. We know that.
And listen, you thought Playoff Pete didn't have it together before hitting the side of the backboard in game 7 against the Nuggets. Wait till Draymond starts chirping in his ear.
So just very surprising.
Draymond's awesome, man, and he really changes the complexion of the entire team when he's on the court.
Yeah,
it's like a much different team with him there and healthy.
So very, very surprising. But again, like I don't think this necessarily showed me anything bad about the Lakers. Their bench literally won an NBA championship almost as constructed, right? Like Kuzma and Caruso both played.
It's an off night for the Lakers, and Vogel even kind of said that after the game. It's not really.
LeBron and Davis shot like shit too. Like neither of them were particularly dominant. They both played a lot, but neither of them were that good. Davis's on-court minutes were much more productive than LeBron's, but like, I don't like the team. They won the title already. It's game 15. I don't really care about that. I wasn't sure there was a version of the Warriors that could do this without Curry having to score 50 points. So that was really interesting to see.
I'll tell you what, the step back three over Anthony Davis is it's still breathtaking to watch Curry make some of these shots. It's just like, wow.
Absolutely.
The shot he made at the end of the first quarter from like the logo. Incredible. So that was interesting the way it played out. And I think I'm with you here where it's like, it's not a ding on the Lakers. If they play again, like you take the Lakers, obviously. I think that they really
favored by the same number. Like absolutely. The difference between the teams is very large. Yep.
I think it shows you that the Warriors maybe have a little something more than a lot of people, including us, maybe thought coming into the season. All right. We're 1 hour down here on You Better You Bet on a Tuesday, radio.com sports on the BetQL audio network. Still have our power hour to come with soccer picks, NHL picks, NBA, of course. In College Hoops overnights to come with our guy Ken Barkley. In a half an hour, we'll be joined by Matt Moore from the Action Network to talk all things NBA. But coming up right after this, a conversation with our buddy Pete Prisco from CBS Sports on Conference Championship Sunday and the NFL, and Pete's opinion on some of the new hires we've seen on the coaching carousel and how it could translate into next year in the National Football League. So a quick break here on the BetQL Audio Network, and Pete Prisco joins us right after this on You Better You Bet.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.